The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the NBC Sports Edge Circling the Bases podcast. I'm your host, Matt Williams. You can find me on Twitter at MATTWI77IMS. And here we are for the weekend recap, which we didn't know if the season would be over right now. If the Braves took care of business, we could be doing a season recap. But for now, the Astros have prolonged it. So here to talk to me about the weekend in baseball and preview the week ahead in baseball is Mr. George Montanez.
Thanks for having me on today. Excited to talk some of this World Series. We've got a pretty good series brewing right here. We thought the Braves maybe could close it out today, but yeah, Astros forcing a game six.
Yeah, I gotta admit, for everyone listening here, you watch the game, you're a baseball fan, otherwise you'd be listening to a recap of the World Series. The first inning, grand slam off the bat of one of the 1 million outfielders that the Braves have brought in before the trade deadline. Adam Duvall goes yard 4-0. It's the first inning. You can't write off any team after the first inning, but I mean, the Braves are up 3-1. Adam Duvall hits a grand slam in the first. I thought the game was over in my heart. I thought the game was over. And then of course the Astros come rumbling back. And then Freddie Freeman goes yard, hits the ball, I think 460 estimated feet, they said. I mean, at that either of those points, I thought the game was kind of like, all right, the Braves are winning this. Did you think early on there was like, I don't know, did you think the Astros were going to come back in this one? Because I don't know. To me, it was just like, all right, this is over.
So, like, just based on how the last two games have gone, you know, the Braves have been able to really limit the Astros, you know, hitters at the plate. You kind of, when the Braves go up 4-0 early, you kind of think like, oh, this is it. You know, Braves are going to close it out. It's done. I mean, the Astros scored two runs in the game four, and then only they got shut out game three. So it's like, you know, the Braves got a pretty good chance to close this one out and win that World Series. But I mean, the Astros, I mean, they're just so, that lineup is just so stacked. And today it was, you know, some of the older guys coming through for them. But you kind of know that, like game two, you weren't going to hold them down, you know, that much longer. So, I did think early on that, man, this one could be over, but nope. You know, they came right back even after Freeman's home run. Here we are looking at a game six.
And they didn't come back with their typical players either. Like during the Red Sox series, I think they scored like at least six runs in every game. It was something insane. But their stars have struggled in the World Series. Even in the game five, Marwin Gonzalez comes out of nowhere. By the way, he still exists. Martin Maldonado. Those are the bats that kind of like did the most damage. But I mean, Correa got in there. Yuli Gurriel got in there. And so did Alex Bregman, who got moved to seventh in this one to try to, you know, Dusty Baker and try to get something moving, moved him from third. He was like, I don't know, 1-for-14 in the series before tonight. You know, he went 1-for-4 with a double in game five. So he moves him from third to seventh. He just hasn't been the same. I mean, since the cheat gate, whatever, the trash can gate, Carlos Correa has obviously been fine. Last year he struggled a bit, but he was at least healthy. And then this year in his walk year was massive. And Jose Altuve, you know, everyone, if you haven't been following along, he now is second place, I believe, all time postseason home runs. So he's been having himself a nice postseason. But Alex Bregman just hasn't been the same. He's been dealing with some injuries, to his credit or discredit. So He was always a guy that you always thought his power is a little suspect, maybe because of that Houston short porch. He always had some of the shortest home run, average home run distance in the game. So Correa, he's coming up on post, Carlos Correa is coming up on his first kind of free agency here. He's going to make a ton of money. Bregman's not quite there yet. So where do you kind of think of him as one of the original evil trio, as most people think, is that you think Altuve, you think Correa, and you think Bregman. But right now it's looking like maybe Bregman did need a little assistance. So what are your thoughts on him? We'll get to Correa in a second. But Alex Bregman, if you're playing dynasty fantasy baseball, or you're just a baseball fan in general, you're an Astros fan. Is there anything to be are you worried here? Or do you think this is just young guy dealt with a lot of adversity, had some health problems? I mean, there's a lot of variables here.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, there have been so many variables over the last 2 years when you consider just the shortened 2020, which, he had been injured through as well. Battled through this similar kind of soft tissue injuries that he couldn't really get over this year. Maybe it's a lot of, pressing. Maybe there is some psychological factor to the cheat gate and maybe trying too hard. But yeah, I mean, when you take that into account with the, suspect, batted ball quality that's, oftentimes cited as far as, when we talk about his power. But I think, he was a really good hitter before. He's got the pedigree. I think it's going to be interesting to see where he goes in drafts and stuff. I mean, if I'm in a dynasty league, he might be someone that I go try to buy low on right now. Because I still think he's going to be okay. Yeah, I think he's still a good hitter for sure.
I think especially with how shallow third base is, because it's truly is, for anyone who hasn't taken a peek at 2022 fantasy baseball, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have looked at it already. My God, is that a terrible position?
It is.
I think the fourth best third baseman is Alex Riley on the Braves side at this point. And I mean, if you said that this time last year, I mean, I believed in Alex Riley. A lot of people did, but if you said that he was the fourth best third baseman, that would give you a heads up to how bad the position is. So going over to Carlos Correa, before we get into what happened in the previous games and previewing the next game six and a possible game seven, he made himself a lot of money this year. He's finally healthy, which is maybe the big thing for him. He's been showing off the glove a ton, but it seems like the most popular rumors have him landing in places where he won't even play shortstop, namely both New York teams. But that is, in past cases, just get New York involved in rumors is just what you do, for yourself and for your agent. You just want to get them involved, even if you don't want to go there. But, there's plenty to be said for him maybe going to the Mets, because there's that whole thing where, the World Baseball Classic, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, and Javier Baez loved playing together at second, third, and short. But regardless, if he ends up getting position eligibility at third, that would be great to obviously help a very shallow position. But just say that he signs somewhere normal, he ends up playing shortstop. What do you think of him going into next year? Because it's not like the injury concerns go away. I mean, sometimes a player is truly injured and sometimes a player doesn't want to play through an injury. Not trying to cast any shade. This is anybody we're talking about, not just Carlos Correa. Once you have the money, there's no real reason to push through minor injuries, whereas you would in a walk year. So if you are drafting next year, are you thinking, all right, because it looks like for the last few years, his projections were always a career best. For always popular projections for Carlos Correa, the last 3-4 years have always been career best, numbers he's never even achieved. So now that he has like one and a half seasons of health under him. How confident are you that he can kind of continue this path of continuing to grow into like this mega player and stay, someone that you can count on a daily basis in fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, well, the biggest question mark with him over the last couple of years is, was the health concerns. Because when he was healthy before, I mean, we saw him putting up, he was producing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I mean, I wouldn't really have too much trepidation as far as and this might just be me getting sucked into the trap here, but I mean, you know, we can't predict injury.
Nope.
I mean,
what was weird is 2020 he was healthy and he actually sucked, which is weird, right? He was either injured or he was great in the past, and then 2020 he was healthy and he was crappy. But then obviously, you know, he bounced back real big this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would be drafting him with confidence. I just don't. You got to know what you're getting with Correa. Like for me personally, like I like to get some speed at the shortstop position. He's just not that kind of player anymore. So I mean, as far as it's going to be really interesting to see where he lands. But I think I'm buying, you know, as far as what he did this year.
All right. So
the longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Getting back into what happened over the weekend, we already know we've talked about, you know, game five, the Astros extended the series. The Braves have gone up 3-1, which is just crazy. I had them losing to the Brewers in my bracket. And then they tear through the Brewers like they're nothing. They tear through the Dodgers like they're nothing. And it looked like they were tearing through the Astros. So, I mean, just magical team. And they're starting to fall apart, kind of like the Astros from a pitching perspective. They lose Charlie Morton in game one. They had to go with a opener in game four and game five, including someone who was just like making his debut. And then another pitcher who hadn't pitched since like June 15th, I believe. Mm-hmm. In game three, they had Ian Anderson going and they took him out. I believe it was like, was it 5 2/3, something like that. And he had a no hitter going. I don't have the exact innings in front of me. He had thrown around like 70 mid 70s pitches. And, you know, he was coming up through the third time through the order, which is just a big analytics thing. He was due up in the batting order in a 1-0 game. So he would have had to bat again if they left him in. And he just didn't have very solid control during that game. His off-speed stuff was like way off the mark. And you can kind of tell third way through the order, it was almost writing on the wall that in a one-run game, the wheels maybe were going to fall off. So I was perfectly fine with the decision. A lot of people that are anti-analytics are kind of hating on it. Then there's the traditionalists that just want to see a no-hitter, even though 75 mm-hmm. pitches, he was never going to make it. So what did you just think of that decision in general and how managers are handling pitchers so differently? I mean, managers always do weird stuff in the playoffs, but we're seeing a whole new animal this offseason with like the constant pitching changes and really short leashes for starting pitchers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you think, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you would have never seen Ian Anderson get pulled with a no hitter. And it was 5 complete innings. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with the decision. You saw it worked out. I mean, he had only thrown 39 of what was it? Only 39 strikes. 39 of 76 pitches for strikes. He had only generated 5 swings and misses. Coming up on the top of the order, you know, against the top of that Astros lineup. I mean, I'm perfectly okay with that decision. You're talking about a 23-year-old pitcher who had, you know, set a career high in innings pitched. I think it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense, and it worked out. You know, I think maybe the argument would be you save that bullpen for game four, but I mean, we saw how that worked out as well. You got to win that game. I mean, you got to take it a game at a time. I think, you know, it's the World Series. You got to make sure you go up to 2-1 there. And I think that Brian Snicker made the right choice there in taking Ian Anderson out. We've seen how nails that bullpen has been with, you know, Minter, Jackson, Matzik, and Smith. I mean, they've been incredible. And sure enough, you know, they closed that one out.
Will Smith's always a adventure, but man, he's been lights out in the playoffs as much as any reliever ever, really. I mean, he has yet to give up a run, and he has been in fuego. The going forward, it's 3-2 now. Braves still ahead of the Astros, heading back to Houston for the final two games. Is it just me, or does it feel like even though the Astros are behind, is the pressure like entirely on the Braves right now?
Yeah, I mean, you can't let a team as talented as the Astros hang around. I mean, we know how stacked that lineup is. And it's funny because we're seeing both teams here struggle with the pitching depth. And we've kind of seen it throughout the playoffs here. We saw it with the Dodgers have to go through with multiple bullpen games. And, you know, it's almost like, is this maybe a result of the shortened 2020 season where we're seeing guys, you know, injured here this late into the year? We're seeing that depth, the lack of pitching depth for a lot of these teams. So they're both kind of dealing with it, both the Braves and the Astros. But yeah, when you got a lineup, you know, with the guys that the Astros have, you just can't really let them hang around. Now, I do think that, you know, the Braves are still in the driver's seat. I know they're going back to Houston, but they're still in the driver's seat. And I mean, I personally, I'm hoping I called Braves in seven. I'm kind of in the mindset of just give me more baseball right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I do think that the Braves close it out either in the next game or in game seven.
I predicted Astros in seven, but whatever. Pick anyone in seven. You're flipping a coin and just picking a side.
Right.
I more or less am like, I look at the Braves, or I look at the Astros. I'm like, all right, Kyle Tucker's one of the best hitters in baseball. He's batting sixth. Yuli Gurriel's the batting champion. He's batting seventh. I mean, he batted in front of the pitcher, Zach Greinke, in game four. When does the American League batting champion bat in front of a pitcher? That's this team. And if their bats wake up at the same time, it's trouble. But at least for the Braves' sake, going into game six and seven, again, all bets are off. There's only two games left in the season. Who knows what we're going to see as far as pitching. From a traditional standpoint, we should be looking at Max Fried versus mm-hmm. Jose Urquidy. And then Ian Anderson versus Luis Garcia probably in at game seven. But again, everyone's available in game six. Take away game seven completely right now. Everyone, there's a day off on Monday, which everyone listening to this probably Monday morning. So day off, bullpen's rested. Everyone is available that, you know, has arms other than the people that probably pitched, you know, like Framber Valdez will be making an appearance in game six. So what are your thoughts there? Because you were wondering, like, you know, are people wearing down from the 2020 season? Everyone's been using their bullpen. Max Fried had a lot of the season off. He's fresh mm-hmm. as a daisy, as far as you can be at this point of the year. Is this a thing where you think two games, the Braves have two games to play with? Do you think, you know, it's just, you know, you're managing as aggressively as possible, or do you think they ought to try to get some innings out of Fried, knowing he's probably their best option? Or is this just, you know, if he looks like he doesn't have it in the first inning, is he just lift them just as usual? Because they, you know, they have been using the bullpen quite a bit, especially over the last couple of games.
They have, yeah. And so that's really going to be key, is getting the innings from Fried here in game six. I mean, the day off will help, but yeah, I think you manage to win game six. I think you have to try to manage to win game six. And because, I mean, hey, like you said, game seven could be just a coin flip. And when you're talking about, you know, like this lineup, hey, we saw Zach Greinke get a pinch hit single today. So, I mean, even Greinke could come in.
We didn't talk about that. Hey, last game, for anyone who didn't realize, game five was probably the last game ever in the history of Major League Baseball, like, to have without a designated hitter. I think everyone thought we'd have one last year, but I think everyone knows we will have one next year. I mean, the DH is here in both leagues forever. So again, last game ever that we saw no DH in a game, and we see the American League manager pinch hit with a pitcher in the fourth inning. How bizarre is that? I mean, how often does that happen, period, let alone happen in the World Series? Zach Greinke is one of the best hitters, but again, you're still bad. You know,
I forgot which Astro hitter it was that said that Greinke goes up there thinking he's Babe Ruth. But I mean,
other than Otani, I mean, Jacob DeGrom's a good hitter. Carlos Zambrano was a good hitter. Mike Hampton was actually a legitimately good hitter. But I mean, mostly a good hitting pitcher is still a very bad hitter. So that was just a bizarre thing. I can't even remember where we were now. But going into the, you said, unpredictability of what's going on here, you do have to manage to win these games. So there's been no official. I mean, Max Fried's got to be for sure. Who knows with Dusty Baker? I feel like Max Fried's going to put on a show and shut the Astros down. Of course, it wouldn't shock me if the Astros went off for 15 runs. This is a good World Series. I've been thoroughly entertained by the entire playoffs. I've been very shocked by the Braves every step of the way. So what is your kind of predictions here? Heading into the next couple of games, what do you think is going to happen? You still said Braves in seven. Are you just is that just what your head is thinking, or is like your gut? Do you think that the Astros are going to pull off another one and still go seven? I continue to think, like, you know, I look at Fried versus Urquidy. The Astros bats haven't quite gotten on board. Fried's the freshest arm in probably either pitching staff, maybe the most talented pitcher. On either team. So I just got to go with it. I think the Braves in six is where this ends up.
Yeah, I think that I'm right there with you. I think that, you know, you got Max Fried going here, and if it's a low scoring affair, that's definitely going to favor the Braves. Just, you know, considering the bullpen that they have. And I don't think they're able to keep up with, having to put up 7-8 runs to keep up with the Astros. So yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, we got the best pitcher in this World Series going for the Braves. And if it's a low scoring affair, then that's definitely going to favor them. And I think I want to say that it's going to end. Game six is going to end it.
We're going to be very wrong. I just feel it. You know what?
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Not to jinx anything, Braves fans, don't get on me. I know I'm a Mets fan, but I enjoy all of this. I feel like Max Fried's going to throw a gem, and the night. What are they called? What are they called? The night freaking managers. What are they? The night crew?
Oh yeah. The was it the night crew? Yeah.
I feel like
the night shift.
Yeah, they got cracked a little tonight. I think that maybe the Astros may get to them, and then we'll end up in a game seven, kind of where it should be.
Seven would favor Houston. I just gut feeling. I feel like a game seven would favor the Astros.
All right, let's just again, this is a ridiculous hypothetical. Let's just say this goes to game seven. 76 pitches through 5 2/3. Ian Anderson, no hitter still. Do they take him out then, or do they just say, you know, it's the last game, screw it, you're throwing 190 pitches?
Oh man, I just know that Twitter would go wild.
Yeah, I mean, I was fully on board with yanking him the other day. If they did it in a game seven situation, I'd be like, oh no, yeah. Don't do it.
That would be tough in a game seven situation. I mean, I feel like you give him the chance to go out there for the sixth inning, because I mean, he didn't get the chance. He was pulled after five, and it was Minter that came in to start the sixth to face Altuve. And so I think you give him the chance. You let him face a batter, and you kind of just play it like that. Guy gets on base. All right, here we go. Bring the bullpen in.
Yeah, these games are so unpredictable. Like we said, you can't analyze them like you're about to watch a normal baseball game, because these haven't been normal baseball games. The game changes dramatically from batter to batter. So so we're both, we're both picking Braves in six. For any Astros fans listening, sorry, I picked Astros in seven, but hey, Max Fried's very, very good. No shame losing to a pitcher like that. So. Any final thoughts here before we sign off? I thought for sure, again, I'm stunned we're even having this show that's not ending the season. I thought that Adam Duvall most definitely ended the Astros season in the first inning tonight, and that is not the way it went. So any final thoughts, George, before we move on?
No, yeah, I was right there with you. I hope we get a good game six, and you know, if we get a game seven, then it's just more baseball games. I mean, they're, you know, like they say, there's no better words than game seven in sports. So, I just hope we get a good one here, but yeah, I'm with you. Braves in six.
All right. So, before we sign off, tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter and make your prediction. If you think it's going to be the Braves, or if you want to change the Astros, who's going to be the World Series MVP? Because right now, there's not really one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just been, it's been a whole team effort there for the Braves. But I'm going to say that Freddie Freeman homers in game six, and he takes home the World Series MVP.
I like it. And for anyone that wants to follow George, you can follow him on Twitter at Roto Nino, Roto _ Nino, N-I-N-O. And, man, I didn't want to give a Dansby Swanson, three home runs. Boom. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put the Braves on his back. Max Fried's going to pitch a nice game. It's going to be back and forth. Dansby Swanson, three bombs in his hometown.
I like it.
Or I guess he's not in his hometown. He'll be in Houston. But we'll go with that. I mean, it makes as much sense as anything else. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the NBC Sports Edge Circling the Bases podcast. We'll see what happens here. You know, it should be an exciting week of baseball. Everyone savor these games. Me and George were talking before, the show started. We don't know what's going to happen with the collective bargaining agreement. I predict that we'll have a full season, but we don't know if this will get dragged off. We won't get the immediate start to the fun off season we usually do. So, man, savor these games. It's going to be an exciting game six at a minimum, and possible game seven. So, for me and George, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back on Wednesday with the next episode. See you, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.